In speaking to reporters yesterday at the White House, President Barack Obama announced the need for immediate restructuring to save the American auto industry. The president's statements came a day after he asked General Motors Chief Executive Officer Rick Wagoner to resign. After the auto corporation led by Wagoner failed to submit adequate restructuring plans in order to receive more federal money, Obama responded, the U.S. government has no interest or intention of running GM. With Chief Operating Officer Fritz Henderson as the new CEO, the White House is demanding the corporation financially restructure within 60 days. Obama stated, quote, it will require unions and workers who have already made painful concessions to make even more. It will require creditors to recognize that they cannot hold out for the prospect of endless government bailouts. Chrysler, another troubled automaker, is set to receive $6 billion from the government to finalize a negotiated deal with Fiat, an Italian automaker, within 30 days. If the two companies fail to come to terms, Chrysler is not expected to receive further help from the government, leaving for the probability of a complete sell-off. Joining me on the line this morning is Robert Wiseman. He is the editor of the National Monitor. Welcome to Uprising, Robert.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So first, explain why there's such a difference in how President Obama is handling banks and the insurance company AIG versus the auto companies. Both of these are industries that are failing and are getting federal help. So why this strong demand to have a proper plan and to financially restructure with the auto industry?
There's a story that you can tell, which is the one the administration apparently likes, which is that the financial system is so central to the working of the overall economy. It's so systemically important, not just that the financial institutions are systemically important to the rest of the financial system, but the financial system overall is systemically important to the working of the economy, that you have to figure out a way to keep it viable, plowing ahead, and support it, however. And the auto industry, while it's very important, isn't so central to the economy. So that's a story. I think that story is totally 100% implausible and wrong, and not an explanation for why there's the differential treatment. A different story is that Detroit, while once dominant in Washington, has seen its political power ebb as its economic power has fallen. So as its market share has declined, so has its market share of political power. It spent less money in Washington, less influential, less involved with the think tanks, less involved in shaping ideas. By contrast, Wall Street has invested $5 billion in Washington, the political process, over the last 10 years, is massively involved in the business of ideas in Washington, sends its people to staff the Treasury Department. People at the Treasury understand the way Wall Street works, think like Wall Street thinks, put themselves in the shoes of Wall Street, and they're getting much more sympathetic treatment as a result. I think that's the only realistic explanation for what's going on.
And there's another difference. The auto industry employs millions of unionized workers.
Yeah, I think that's right. So the guys in the Treasury Department can imagine themselves in the shoes of the Wall Street executives. They can't imagine themselves in the shoes of the auto industry executives. But it's beyond the pale to imagine themselves as auto workers.
So what do you think of this action by the president that he is demanding this restructuring? He's taking a very active role, but he is also suggesting short-term bankruptcy as a way for these companies to get out of the situation they're in. First, just on its own, is that a good idea?
Well, on the bankruptcy issue, I'm pretty skeptical. They think that they can manage a bankruptcy with guarantees to consumers so that there won't be too much harm done to the underlying brands. I think that's a pretty big risk and undesirable. Now, we also don't know if they're actually serious about pushing bankruptcy or if they just need to seem serious about pushing bankruptcy to force changes at GM and Chrysler.
So what sort of changes could these two companies do? GM has been given 2 months, Chrysler only 1 month to make a deal with Fiat, as I mentioned. What would be adequate, first, from the president's perspective, and second, from the perspective of really having long-term stability? Those two may coincide, but they may not.
Yeah, that's right. I think there are two things. There are two primary goals, and I think the material that's out from the Obama administration suggests their emphasis is on market viability, while they're also paying attention to ecological sustainability. And I think the public interest is in the reverse. You can't have the companies continue if they're not ultimately going to be viable. But the most important thing is trying to deal with climate change and its relationship to the auto industry. What they are saying is that the plan from General Motors does not see the company becoming hitting a break-even point within a five-year window, and even with all the various cost cuts they propose. And so from the point of view of the administration, they're not cutting enough, and something else has to be done. So they're pushing them to make additional cuts. They want more concessions from the workers. I think it's deeply problematic. They want clearer concessions from GM's creditors, which makes sense. They want a better indication of how GM is going to shed different product lines and deal with its dealers, which probably makes sense. In the case of Chrysler, they're saying they've made a determination the company is not going to be viable on its own, and they're telling them they have to basically hook up with Fiat in the next 30 days or call it quits.
Now, you said more concessions from workers. Let's talk a little bit about that. The recent controversy that blew up last week over the bonuses paid to AIG executives was brought attention in terms of hearings on Congress. And some people were comparing that to how UAW workers, United Auto Workers, who represent many auto workers in Detroit, how these workers were treated in contrast. It's interesting reading that ABC News is reporting that Rick Wagoner, the CEO who was essentially forced out by the Obama administration, is walking out with a $20 million retirement package, which, of course, even though he is being told he was responsible and is being pushed out, he faces a very comfortable future, whereas auto workers are being asked to make even more concessions.
Well, for Wagoner, I think that's breaking news, and it's a little bit unclear because there were also reports that they wanted to actually keep him on at his current salary, which is $1 a year, to avoid paying him the severance pay. So we'll see how that plays out.
Okay.
That was quite an attractive approach, I thought. I thought it was very good that they removed the management at GM. They told the CEO, Rick Wagoner, he's got to go. It, again, as you're pointing out, it contrasts very starkly to how they've to the kid glove treatment for the financial sector. But, you know, there's a more serious issue that you're raising with the treatment of the AIG bonuses versus the line workers represented by United Auto Workers at General Motors and Chrysler. The out-of-the-box line from the administration on why they couldn't deal with the bonus problem was that contracts have to be respected. Now, here we're talking about the administration forcing the renegotiation of already renegotiated concessional contracts with the auto workers. And really, if they are at all serious about trying to cut costs from the worker side, they're talking about going against deeply settled expectation from workers that have existed for decades about the kind of health care coverage they're going to get from their employers and into a retirement. So it is a much more severe ask of people who are much less well-positioned than was ever contemplated at AIG.
My guest is Robert Wiseman, the editor of the Multinational Monitor. We're talking about the auto industry and in particular GM and Chrysler that the Obama administration has taken a very intimate role in, recently forcing the CEO of GM to resign and giving both companies deadlines until which they have to meet in order to restructure themselves financially. Let me come back to what I'd asked you earlier, which is what specifically could these companies do to restructure themselves financially, not just in terms of creating products that are more sensitive to climate change, you know, better hybrid cars, et cetera, more fuel efficient cars, but also financially restructuring in terms of the CEOs versus the workers? There was a conversation around healthcare because of the number of workers that these companies employ and the fact that there is a legitimate drain on the resources of these companies because of the fact that the government does not pay for health care. Can you comment on that and what the Obama administration could do to alleviate that?
Well, it is true that the GM and Chrysler, as well as Ford, have significant what are called legacy costs, is different from the legacy assets of the financial industry, which are the health care monies owed to retired workers. So they're paying for health care for workers who've retired after 30 years of service to the companies. And health care is obviously extremely expensive. Those are employees who are expensive to insure because they're older. And if there was a government insurance program, a single payer, Medicare for all, they would come off of the books of GM and Chrysler and Ford and would be part of the overall national system, and there would be no disadvantage that these companies have as against the Japanese manufacturers and others who do not have those kind of costs. The Japanese manufacturers, of course, although they do have substantial manufacturing capacity now in the United States, are relatively new with their factories, so don't have these older retired workers that they're paying for, and of course also don't have unionized workers that they're responsible for. But it should be said that there's a massive exaggeration about the cost of employees and the overall cost structure of the auto industry. The wages and benefits for the existing employees is less than 10% of the cost of a car. So no matter what kind of concessions they make, that's not going to get costs down. And moreover, cost is not the ultimate problem. It's not the primary problem facing the auto industry right now. The primary problem is that demand has fallen off a cliff. That has nothing to do with the auto industry, however incompetent GM may have been and it has been. It's not. That's completely beyond their control.
It's just that the economy is failing. People have less cash to spare and are fearful of spending any that they do have.
Yeah, I mean, the overall demand for cars has dropped by a third or 40% in the last year, so no industry can deal with that in the short term. And there is probably some extent to which the financial industry is directly responsible because it is harder for people to get car loans right now. Well, I think much more serious is the overall collapse of the economy.
Robert, let's talk a little bit about how this news of the Obama administration's role in the auto industry is being met by, or how it's being critiqued by mainstream media and conservative media in particular. There's always this specter of socialism. We've discussed it on this program quite a bit. Now there's a fear because of the active role the Obama administration has been taking that the government wants to nationalize the auto industry. How legitimate are those fears?
It's hard to even know how to answer such a silly premise now.
The government
is dominant in the national economy right now. The giant financial companies exist only outside of bankruptcy only because of this massive infusion from the federal government. All kinds of hidden guarantees, including more than $250 billion guaranteed directly at Citigroup, the Federal Reserve pumping in several $1 trillion into financial institutions in different markets. So the government is keeping the economy afloat right now, and that's just how it is. And the criticism or these kind of silly remarks are coming about in the case of General Motors only because the government is doing what it should be doing in the financial sector, which is to say, if the taxpayers are going to be putting all this money on the line, they ought to be demanding some quid pro quos, and they ought to be demanding some kind of accountability, and they ought to be demanding changes to support, to alter the way firms operate so that they're viable going forward into the future.
I want to play an excerpt of a discussion on Fox News' America's Newsroom just yesterday about the GM CEO being forced to resign.
The government is going to tell you who you can fire, how much you can pay them, the perks that they can receive, their business practices, and basically what product you can put out. History.
Sounds like oversight 100% of the way.
Yeah,
when you think about, too, the White House sending its own team to Detroit to oversee the new restructuring. These companies are not going to make a move unless the White House gives them the thumbs up.
No, the government now controls the car industry in the United States.
That's a discussion on Fox News just yesterday. Robert Wiseman, your comments.
Well, the alternative to the government exercising some control and offering the money is that the companies go into bankruptcy. So not only is that a worse option for the companies, what happens in bankruptcy? A bankruptcy judge controls the companies and makes decisions about what they can do. So there's no escape. I mean, if you're a big company and you mess up so badly that you are no longer solvent, unless you were Wall Street and have the ability to extract massive amounts of cash from the federal government with no quid pro quo, you're going to come under the control of the government, either in the form of the kind of government oversight that we're seeing now from the executive branch, or government oversight that you're going to get in the face of bankruptcy.
So, Robert, finally, on the one hand, it seems as though these auto industries very sort of crucial to the American economy if you're looking specifically at jobs and decent jobs. But then on the other hand, the demand has fallen off. It's from the using the premise of how a company would operate in this capitalist system, this would mean ordinarily a downsizing. What do you recommend needs to happen, both from the perspective of what government should do and from the perspective of how the economy needs to survive and how this industry itself needs to survive? What do you think could be the best case scenario from the perspective of jobs, the products being produced, and taxpayers' money that is going to bail these companies out?
Well, I think that's exactly the right question. And to its credit, it's a question the Obama administration is asking with this industry that it's not asking with Wall Street. It is not necessarily obvious for people who live on the East or West Coast how central the auto industry is to the overall national economy and just crucial to communities throughout the Midwest. So the industry, I do believe, really needs to be saved. Everything has to be done to mitigate the layoffs, some of which are going to be inevitable, but to keep the industry as viable as possible. Now, going forward, we know what we need from our transportation sector. We're going to need transformative technologies, transitioning with electric car, with hybrid cars and much more fuel-efficient cars, but going to carbon-free cars in the near-term future. We need much more investment in public transit. And I believe that the government ought to be saying, those are the plans that we want to see coming from you. We want to see how you're going to respond to those overarching social needs, and that is our priority demand from you. You have to do that. You've got to do that in an efficient way, but we're not going to ask you to show returns or, return to viability measured as profitability in the course of 1, 2, or 3 years. We want to see a plan for massive new investment in capital, infrastructure, and in design, so that we've got a sustainable transportation sector going forward, and we've got an industry that's able to supply the transportation needs of the country in the decades ahead.
Well, Robert Weisman, as always, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Hope to have you back on in the future.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Robert Weisman is editor of the Multinational Monitor, and you can check out the latest issue of the Multinational Monitor online at multinationalmonitor.org. We've been talking about the auto industry.